Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
This podcast discusses sexual assault. Please take care while listening. I want to share a story of a real-life fairy tale gone horribly wrong. A cautionary tale about a marriage so filled with betrayal and deceit that it set off a path of destruction that people are still recovering from. My name is Andrea Gunning, and I'm a podcast producer in Philadelphia. In the summer of 2019, I had just wrapped up a project when I met a fellow producer, Jennifer Faison. She pitched a story she thought was compelling enough to make something of. And it turns out, it was her own story.
Information this morning about a Cobb County teacher in jail. Spencer Heron was arrested Friday at his home in Acworth. Heron is currently in the Cobb County jail on a $55,000 bond.
Spencer was Jennifer's husband of 7 years. 20 years after dating in college, the stars seemed to align and they reconnected. When they decided to get serious, Jennifer moved from L.A., where she worked as a television producer, to Acworth, Georgia, where Spencer was a popular high school teacher. He was also awarded Teacher of the Year twice.
We've learned his arrest stems from an alleged 3-year sexual relationship with a 16-year-old female student. Investigators say the teen says it started back in 2016 when he allegedly groped her. It all happened on Kell High School property. The school's website lists the 48-year-old as the head of the career tech department and a coach.
Jennifer was blindsided.
I came home on June 1st, 2018. Spence didn't greet me. Instead, he was sitting on the couch, shaking his head. It's all over. It's all over. It's all over.
Nothing could have been more shocking from this popular teacher, respected coach, and loving husband. The arrests unlocked terrible secrets about predatory behavior that went against the image Spencer Heron fabricated for years. The cheerful neighbor, member of the Air National Guard. The truth shook a community, devastated his wife, and sent Spencer Heron to prison. I'm Andrea Gunning, and this is Betrayal. Episode 1, The Perfect Husband.
Spence and I met at college. I wanted to be in video production, and he was the station manager. And I'll never forget our first meeting. He said, "Excuse me, do you know what time it is?" And I said, "Oh, I don't wear a watch." He said, "Oh, me either." And that was kind of like the end. And I don't know, it was just one of those things. We just connected right away. He was a year older than I was, and him being the station manager, he seemed so cool to me. I remember I tried out for Anchor that semester, and he didn't choose me because he was afraid that if he did, everybody would know that he liked me. The word college sweethearts, that's what we were. We had so much fun. He would always try to do surprises for me or make a mixtape. Every day when we would pass by each other in the hallways, he would give me a note. He was just very attentive, and he was very caring.
I'm Jeffrey Birch.
And this is Gail Birch.
I'm her stepfather.
And I am her mom. She and Spence dated in college, and she was absolutely in love with him, and we loved him too.
I'm Karen Faison.
And I'm John Faison. I'm Jen's father.
And I'm Jennifer's stepmother. We thought a lot of him. We thought he was a wonderful young man.
He had a great personality and, you know, just a real down-to-earth person, very personable and likable and a talented fellow. I mean, he was a musician and, I mean, he played trumpet. Very good, evidently.
Jennifer's sister, Christy.
You know, when people are in love, they just are beautiful because they're themselves and someone just totally accepts them for who they are and they just shine and they're beautiful. Like, I remember seeing my sister and she was wearing a red winter coat. She just looked so beautiful. And it was because she was just so in love. I don't know when we started calling him Saint Spence, but there were a few reasons why he was wonderful to my sister. When he got up, he was like, does anybody need anything? Or he would go get coffee for my sister. He was polite and engaged with my mom and my grandparents. He was really curious about everyone and he just didn't do anything wrong.
It was my senior year in college and I wanted to go out and, you know, enjoy my friends and have fun. So we broke up, still kept in touch. I think I can honestly say I broke his heart and he was very sad and tried to get me back. And it wasn't that there was anything wrong, it was just not the right time. So we remained friends, but eventually went our separate ways. My grandmother was upset. She couldn't believe it. She just thought Spence was perfect. She thought we were going to get married after school. My sister cried. She was like, how could you leave this great, perfect guy? You know, a lot of people can't understand, but at the time, that's just how I felt. I wanted to explore. We dated for a year and a half, and it was one of those relationships where you realized what a good one looks like.
She took her communications degree. She got into radio and was on the air in Minneapolis.
From there, she decided that she wanted to see if she could get a producing job in California. She just decided, I'm going to LA and I'm going to find my mark.
Spencer and Jennifer stayed in touch for a while. But like a lot of couples in college, they eventually lost touch and started their own lives. Jen was on a path.
So we lost touch after that for a long time. I think partly because he was married and had kids, and I wanted to respect that and those boundaries in that relationship.
Jennifer was ambitious. She built an impressive resume and reputation as a talented reality show producer and was even nominated for 3 Emmy Awards.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin.
She also worked for Judge Judy. In fact, when I was nominated for a daytime Emmy, we got to go to New York to walk the red carpet.
After a few years with Judy, Jennifer made her way from daytime to primetime.
Tonight.
Come on, guys. Good morning, VA family.
She ended up getting a job with Extreme Makeover Home Edition with Ty Pennington. So she went all over the country.
Jen was making her mark in the industry. She could go from Judge Judy to home makeovers to the craziness at the beach.
One of the ones that I was shocked about was she was doing Jersey Shore. That's what Jennifer excels at, is being able to get along with everybody, keep peace amongst everybody, manage their different personalities, and then produce a great show. That's what she's good at.
While Jennifer was building an impressive resume, Spencer had built a different life back in Georgia.
Spence got married, had three great kids, and for many years, he was the stay-at-home parent who took care of those kids.
Kevin, Spence's best friend, describes Spence as trustworthy and loyal.
He was funny, very charismatic. He came from a big family, so he never had much, like in terms of physical possessions and stuff. So he always seemed like a simple person.
My name is Rod, and I've known Spencer since probably 1980, so maybe sixth grade.
Rod and Spencer bonded over shared interests.
Our high school was pretty small. There was probably 150 people in the graduating class, something like that. I think we were both always top students and top popularity, I would think.
Spencer grew up in Avondale Estates, 20 minutes east of Atlanta.
Yeah. It's kind of confusing.
Well, Spence's real father, Spence's real mother, they had this other couple that was good friends. And both couples, I guess you could say, split up and married each other. And so Spence has stepbrothers, real brothers, and half-brothers.
And there was a bunch of them.
It's a little confusing, but Spence was part of a big blended family. There were six boys altogether. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. I recently installed SimpliSafe in my house, and I feel like my entire home has been upgraded. I truly cannot recommend this enough. I feel like I can sleep better at night knowing that my home is protected. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day, so you get fast emergency response and dispatch when you need it the most. With no contract and a 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. Don't absolutely love it? Send the system back for a full refund. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/betrayal. That's simplisafe.com/betrayal. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
While Jennifer was living her best life in L.A., Spence was living in Georgia as a well-regarded video production teacher.
Julia Soltsiak was one of Spencer's students over a decade ago. She still has fond memories.
My name is Julia. I graduated from Cal High School in 2010. I'm going to refer to him as Coach Heron, if that's okay. I've never actually called him Spencer. So everyone called him Coach Heron because he was the soccer coach. He coached girls soccer. Coach Heron was my high school video productions teacher my junior and senior year of high school. Everyone who had him loved him. He was the fun class, the fun teacher, the fun program. You got to be on the announcements. You know, you got to work on these cool projects.
When Spencer was 37, he joined the Air National Guard and became part of the band. He was the oldest person in his boot camp class and kind of played the role of dad there. And then, out of the blue, 20 years later, Jen's first love reached out to her on social media.
I get a message from him on Facebook. He was planning his college reunion and saw me like a photo or something. So he reached out to me. Hey, how are you? How's it going? What are you doing? He told me that he had kept up with my career and knew I was in LA. And honestly, the first thing that I wrote to him back was, are you still married? Because I'm not going to get involved with somebody that's married. That's just not me. He wrote me back immediately, said we split up 4 years ago. Great. Well, then he says, so I know you travel a lot for work. Are you by any chance going to be in New York City in December, which was a couple months away? He said, I'm going to be there with the DECA group from school. I said, no, you know, I don't usually work in New York. Then I go to the movies with my sister 2 days later and run into my old boss from Extreme Makeover Home Edition, who says, what are you doing right now? And I said, nothing. I was in between jobs at the time. He said, okay, I need to fly you to New York and you need to help me out with this show. I said, okay, great. I'll do it. Hopped on a plane and flew out there. So I emailed Spence and said, hey, guess what? I'm here. I'm going to be here for about a month. And he said, great. I would love to see you when you're here. And maybe you could even come and speak to the students. So I agreed to do that. One afternoon, rushed home from work. Changed, tried to look as cute as possible. You know, it's December now in New York and hard to get a taxi at that time of night. So I was running late. The taxi drops me off about 2 blocks from the hotel because I just figured I can get there faster if I walk. So I walk in there and he's kind of leaning up against the wall, kind of cool. And he sees me and I think both of our faces just light up and gives me a big hug. And I remember thinking, wow, he looks really good. I got butterflies. I was excited to see him again. And then he and I went and walked around New York and talked and learned about each other again. And we sat in this cute little speakeasy bar. I noticed his sleeve kind of came up on his jacket, and I saw he had tattoos. And now, I'm not a tattoo person, but for some reason, this was so sexy to me. You know, now he was cool. And everything I remembered.
The two of them walked the city all night long, just talking and talking and talking. And that's when they said they just fell in love all over again.
I was on cloud 9. He walked me back to my hotel room. Yes, he came inside. No, I don't usually do that. But it was Spence, and I always felt safe with Spence. I asked him if he could stay, and he said, no, I have to go back because he had to go back to his students. And the next morning, I woke up, and I called my best friend crying because I was so sad that I may never see him again. I really thought that was it. And something in me was really sad about that. But that's not what happened. The whole New York trip was serendipitous. After 20 years apart, Jen and Spencer were reconnected. And this time, Spencer was not going to lose her.
He continued to pursue me and text me and call me. From Atlanta to LA, we would be up all night on the phone.
So she went back to LA. He went back to Atlanta area, and they continued with their phone conversations. He had called us and said that he wanted to marry Jennifer, and he asked for permission. We said, we've always felt like you're part of the family. You know, you don't need to ask us, you just need to ask her. I said, the only thing we ask of you is that you go to LA and you visit Jennifer and you see what kind of lifestyle that she was living, because she was very, very successful in her career, very successful financially, very established. And so he said, okay, he would do that because he was going to be asking her to possibly move to this small little town in Georgia, pulling her away from LA. And that was a concern that we had too, is would she be able to adjust? Is that fair to her? Is that going to affect her career?
So we re-met in December 2011. We made the decision pretty quickly that I would move out there, and I didn't mind doing that. I mean, it meant giving up a lot. My career was doing great. I'd really established myself, which in hindsight is a good thing because I was able to move to Atlanta and keep working. But his kids were there, and that was important to him. And being a stepchild myself, it was important to me that he stay as close to the kids as he could. So I decided I would move there. I packed up my whole apartment, and then he flew out, and we drove my car across the country. Our first stop was Vegas. He gave me this booklet, and in it were all these photos of the two of us, some of them from college, and then some from New York, and just, you know, when we had seen each other since. And at the very end was a picture of my grandmother's ring that he had gotten from my mom. He got down on one knee and he asked me to marry him. And I was so excited. I wanted to be able to remember exactly what it felt like and what it sounded like. So I said, "Can you ask me again?" And he just laughed and he asked me again. And of course I said yes. It was everything that I could have wanted.
It was like a movie. All of the thought and effort Spencer put into their engagement. She waited so long for love.
They were so sweet together. Like, he was very demonstrative with his affection towards her. You know, he would say, "Look at Jen, look how cute she looks today." He was always very proud to talk about her and about her accomplishments and things like that. He would walk by her and just kiss her on the top of the head. You know, just, it was very sweet. And their little love story was very sweet, and they loved to tell it.
If she was traveling, you know, producing a show and then coming back, he would always walk in and, you know, hug her and say, "So glad you're home."
Jennifer's friend, Danielle.
I mean, he would just say, like, "Hey, wife," you know, and he was so proud of that.
He was such a doting husband. Every morning he would leave me a note by the coffee pot. Every single morning for 6-7 years. He would text me during the day. I'd never worried about where he was or what he was doing. I really, really thought we were living a fairy tale. Every time the clock would turn on 11:11, I would make a wish. And ever since Spence and I got back together in New York, the wish was, I hope Spence and I have a beautiful, long life together.
When the bottom drops out, you usually don't see it coming. And Jennifer never did.
I came home on June 1st, 2018, and Spence didn't greet me. Instead, he was sitting on the couch in the living room, just shaking his head. So I was joking around with him because he didn't jump up and say, "Wife, welcome back." And I walked over to him and he just kept shaking his head. "It's all over. It's all over. It's all over." I kept expecting him to say, "Oh, just kidding." Because what could be that wrong that he would be feeling this way? He slid a piece of paper to me. I just kind of glanced at it, trying to figure out what it was. And it said search warrant on top. I saw the words sexual assault and student.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Police arrested Kell High School teacher Spencer Heron on Friday at his home in Acworth. Investigators say he faces three counts of sexual assault.
Imagine seeing that piece of paper, the search warrant, and knowing that everything in your life was about to change. He was charged with sexual assault with one of his own students. It had started when she was a sophomore in high school.
I got up and stood in front of him and said, "Is this true?" He said, "Yes." He said it happened three times. Spence is the last person that I would have ever guessed would have taken advantage of a kid. And I think anybody else that knew him would have said the same thing. To find out that he cheated on me, not with a woman, but with a 16-year-old girl, it is so hard to understand that. I just started pacing back and forth, telling him he ruined everything. He knew how much marriage meant to me. He knew what it meant to me. I thought I knew what it meant to him. I sat across from him at that point because I didn't want to be near him. Just trying to make sense of what just happened and realizing that life as I knew it would never be the same. The future that we planned was gone.
It couldn't be true. Not her husband. The nicest, kindest man in the world. A predator? Not possible. Except it was possible. It happened.
It didn't take too long before I saw two Cobb County police officers drive past our house. I knew they were on their way back for Spence. They had already been there once with the search warrant and busted down our front door. They took a bunch of his stuff, his computers, hard drives, and a pair of his underwear. All Spence could talk about was killing himself at that point. So I sat down on the coffee table right in front of him where he was sitting on the couch, and I just begged him not to do anything stupid.
Her life was upended. Her husband was sitting across from her talking about suicide. It was all so scary and so much to digest. Jen felt conflicted by a feeling of obligation to Spence because of the vows they took.
Jennifer, repeat after me. I, Jennifer. Take thee, Spencer.
Take thee, Spencer.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
I wanted him to know that somebody would be there for him. From this day forward. We were married. You're supposed to stick by your spouse for better or worse.
For better, for worse.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
The cops came. I opened up the door and looked across to Spence and was so relieved when I saw him walking into the foyer. Because if he had run, I don't know what would have happened, but he turned around. He let them put the cuffs on him.
Even after seeing the words sexual assault and student on the search warrant, Jennifer still needed to hear the police say it.
I said, "What are you arresting him for?" They looked at him like, "Is it okay if we tell her?" And he yells out, "No, don't tell her anything." Which is weird because he'd already admitted what he had done. I guess he was still hoping to hide stuff. They walked him out of the house. I shut the door, and I couldn't watch them put him in the back of the car. And the foyer was the last time I've seen him.
Jennifer was trying to process what had just happened. Unfortunately, what she learned that day was only the tip of the iceberg.
I was on a walk one morning, and I just thought, I need to call Jennifer. When I got home, I called her. She picked up the phone and she was like in hysterics. And I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, they took Spencer away. She was in shock. It was like, Spence? Of all people, Spence? Saint Spence? Jennifer wasn't in problem-solving mode. I think because I was distant from it, I could get into problem-solving mode. My thought was, If it's a student, it's going to get around really fast. Then my thought was, oh God, the kids. They worship their father. And that was my thought. I was like, oh my God, do they know? How are they going to find out? Social media these days? He needs to take down his social media, like all of this stuff.
My sister called and said, people are making comments. You've got to go in there and take down his account. I had never been in his account before. I never looked at his phone, his text, his computer, his Facebook, nothing, ever. I trusted him with every piece of my being. Never, ever, ever would I have snooped. But I knew Christy was right, so somehow I got into his Facebook account, which got me into his email.
To say what she learned next was shocking would be an understatement. The student? Well, she was one of dozens of affairs that Spencer had been carrying on for years. And he was soliciting photos from these women.
I only had to scroll down one row before the pictures of all these naked women were showing up on his computer. Woman after woman after woman. I literally didn't know what was happening. Spence would never want women to send him pictures like this. He wasn't like that. He was not.
No one wants to think that the person they love, that they're married to, has a secret life. Jen had to face the hard truth. Her husband had betrayed her. Not once, but every single day of their relationship. Through this podcast, Jen's about to go on a journey of discovery she never could have imagined. On this season of Betrayal, Jen's going to talk to the sexual assault victim who is an adult now.
The first thing he said to me was, I've never done this with a student. I've never felt this way about anyone. It's because I love you that we're doing this.
There were dozens of affairs simultaneously. Some women she knew personally, like this one.
How do I put this? Because it's not very kind towards myself. I was being used, but I really thought that he loved me.
And even Spencer himself.
This is a direct pay call from an inmate at the Cherokee County Jail, Georgia.
The lies, affairs, shame, the broken marriage, and stolen innocence. We're going to talk about it all on Betrayal. If you'd like to reach out to the Betrayal team, email us at betrayalpod@gmail.com. That's betrayalpod@gmail.com. Betrayal is a production of Glass Podcasts, a division of Glass Entertainment Group in partnership with iHeart Podcasts. The show was executive produced by Nancy Glass and Jennifer Faison, hosted and produced by me, Andrea Gunning, written and produced by Carrie Hartman, also produced by Ben Fetterman. Our iHeart team is Allie Perry and Jessica Kreinchik. Special thanks to voice actor Todd Gans. Sound editing and mixing done by Matt DeVecchio. Betrayal's theme was composed by Oliver Baines. Music library provided by Mime Music. And for more podcasts from iHeart, visit the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.